Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Harassment can happen anywhere. A crude gesture, an unwanted touch, a rude comment. What's the best way to shut down this behavior? How can abusers be held accountable in their communities? A field manual written by a Baltimore musician lays out practical steps to responding to harassment, whether you're a victim or a bystander. The book is titled Making Spaces Safer, a guide to giving harassment the boot wherever you work, play, and gather. Its author is Shauna Potter, lead singer of the band War on Women. Welcome to the show, Shauna.
Thank you so much for having me.
What prompted you to write this book?
I think my first thought was I was on a two-month tour, and I was giving workshops about this subject. And I thought, how am I going to last this whole tour and not lose my voice? Yeah. Singing in workshops, same conversations every day. And I'm sure in a moment of exasperation, I just thought, oh, I should just put this in a book. And then I kept thinking about it. And I thought, you know, that might actually be a really good idea.
What is a safer space?
A safer space is just a place where people acknowledge that harassment, identity-based harassment, happens, and where they acknowledge that they have some control over how they respond to that harassment. And so it's really just the idea that everyone that's gathered in the same place wants to promote autonomy and respect, and it's not a place where you can't say what you want, or it's not a place that's inhibiting your free speech. It's not that. It's just that everyone wants everyone to have a good time.
One of your intended audiences for the book is people who work in public spaces like theaters, music venues, bookstores, comedy clubs. How much control do they have over how people act in that space?
Oh, plenty, plenty. They set the tone for what's appropriate behavior in their space. So even just a knowing look or, hey, is everything okay over here, can make a big difference in kind of shutting down behavior that's going to turn bad if it hasn't already. I think a lot of times when I do workshops, I'm giving people permission to own the power that they already have. And once they start to feel comfortable with it, it starts to click what they can do.
You've thought about this a lot and you experience it. So, of course, I may not have the right insight, but we're told the customer is always right. So if a customer comes in and is obnoxious in some way, I would think the staff of many venues are a little hesitant to weigh in.
Well, I would say I've worked a lot of jobs, and it's true. Many of them promote the idea that the customer is always right. But people that are actually the grunts, like I was, we have our own tactics already for dealing with people that might be obnoxious, right? Like, we have our own way of speaking or calming them down, using grounding techniques, whether we know that's what we're doing or not. And so we've figured out workarounds. But the thing that's not acceptable is when that obnoxious person is that obnoxious to another customer, you know? You have to take extra steps. Like, I'm willing to put up with a little bit more as an employee just so I can calm everybody down and not get fired for it and, you know, do my best to get this person out of here where everyone is safe. But when they start messing with other customers, okay, that's when you have to take a stand.
So what are some of the ways a space can signal that harassment will not be tolerated?
I mean, one of the first things that should be done, and one of the most important, is just putting up signs. Just talking about it, just letting people know that you do not accept harassment in your space. So that's one of the first tactics laid out in my book, making it obvious. And that goes a long way to letting victims know that if they are harassed in your space, they can tell you about it. And it also lets potential harassers know that if they exhibit that behavior, you're not going to put up with it.
That's Shauna Potter, lead singer for the punk band War on Women, here on the record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're speaking about her book, Making Spaces Safer, which details how venues can create a welcoming atmosphere for diverse people and recognize and respond to harassment. You caution people who are responding to a report of harassment to remember that they are not a cop or a counselor or a judge. What is their role?
Their role is to ensure everyone in their space feels as comfortable and safe as possible on their watch. No more, no less. So having to have, you know, every single fact of the incident, it's almost not necessary. If people feel unsafe or scared or frustrated or like they're being demeaned, all we need to do is listen to them, believe them, and do what we can to make everyone feel safe in that moment.
So walk me through more of how that happens.
Sure. So honestly, believing people and listening to them is one of the most important things. Using validating language, like, I'm so sorry this happened to you. I would be frustrated too. I'm sorry that that person yelled at you, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, what we're talking about here when we're talking about harassment, it's not just, hey, baby, or, oh, someone looked at me weird, or this guy keeps hitting on me, although that is part of it. It is using the N-word to someone. It is grabbing someone inappropriately. It is following them around. It is staring at them. It is getting too close to their drink so the person isn't sure if their drink's been spiked, right? It gets serious and it gets violent. And those little moments of, hey, baby, hey, sexy, where someone's not leaving you alone, are really just a reminder that you live in a world where people are willing to cross your boundaries all the time. So every incident of harassment, even when it seems small, it's important to address. And it's important that people get a break sometimes and can just go to a show and relax, because there are so many places, like for me as a woman, where I don't get to just relax. I don't get to relax just walking down the sidewalk. I'm always on guard, waiting for someone to say something, to do something, to touch me in a way that is not okay. So believing someone that this thing happened to them, giving them three options. That's what we talk about in the book. That's what we developed in the Hollaback Baltimore Safer Space Program, on which this book is based.
The three options are,
do you want me to keep an eye on them, talk to them, or kick them out? And we find that this is so important to put the power back in the victim's hand, give them that choice, and give them a voice so that they can just feel better after an incident that probably took some of their power away.
Going back to what you said, the staff is not judge and jury. They haven't investigated. They haven't established exactly the facts that happened. And if the customer says, I want option three, throw him out.
Yeah.
If you haven't done the spade work of knowing exactly what this customer did, how does the staff handle that?
Well, you obviously want to give the victim a chance to tell their story. Most likely, they just want to be heard. And most venues that I train, they are most afraid of option three. Mm-hmm. They worry that's going to happen all day, every day. People are going to say, kick them out all the time. That is not the case. Most people want to be heard and believed, and they want to know that someone else in that venue has their back, and that they're not alone, and that what just happened, you know, that they're not crazy, they didn't imagine it, that you understand that it's also harassment for them. So most people will go for keep an eye on the person or talk to the person. But on those rare occasions when someone does say kick them out, that's usually because they've been groped or their drink was spiked or something else more extreme. And I would hope that any venue would want that person out anyway, if they're exhibiting that behavior. And that all that conversation has to be is, hey, you did something against our safer space policy, so I'm going to have to ask you to leave. It doesn't necessarily mean that that person is banned for life. You can even give them their money back and say, hey, come back next time. Just don't violate our policy again. And you send them on their way. And the point is, you kind of have to look out for the whole, for the group, for everyone else in that space.
How does the staff know when it makes sense to call the police?
I leave that up to the venue. I do not advocate for calling the police in any kind of knee-jerk reaction. But I also don't know what it's like to run a bar where alcohol's involved. So I would never tell a venue what to do when it comes to that. But I don't think calling the police right away, especially for small instances of harassment, is necessary whatsoever. What most likely would happen is that whoever the most marginalized person is in the scenario, whether it's the harasser or the victim, would be unfairly judged or taken in or harassed by the cops. As we know in Baltimore, trans women are disproportionately harassed by police. We also don't know, you know, you never know if a victim is maybe undocumented. You don't know if they've had any, if they have any drugs in their system, whether voluntarily or not. So you don't want to put the victim in any more harm's way. And cops do not have a history of calming things down, at least in this city.
You write about a community confrontation you helped facilitate when some regulars of a local bar were fed up with inappropriate behavior by a patron. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was, so someone was exhibiting behavior at one of our favorite bars that just looked iffy. And it was like a pattern of getting too close to women's drinks, wanting to buy women drinks and not letting them, you know, giving it to them, not letting them take it from the bar themselves, making the rounds a lot. There is a behavior that some people exhibit when they're looking to find a target to spike their drink. They'll talk to everyone in the bar to see maybe who's the most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that's according to their judgment, of course. So making the rounds when they don't know anyone and yeah, just overall giving kind of creepy vibes. So the women and some non-binary folks that worked at this bar decided, you know, instead of letting their male friends punish this guy or find him and promote violence, they wanted to talk to him. They wanted to let him know that what his behavior, how his behavior was affecting people, how it looked from the outside, and that he probably should cut it out. And I thought that, you know, they asked me to help them do this, so I helped them draft, you know, things they wanted to say. I organized a meeting. I talked to him directly. And I think it's a really good example of the need for restorative justice and transformative justice and this idea that if we just punish people when they do bad, one, eventually everyone's going to be punished, right? If we ostracize people, if we send them out of our communities, eventually we're going to be alone. Everyone will go at some point. But if we work to change the behavior that they're exhibiting and we acknowledge that they're full human beings that have good and bad qualities and that they are capable of change and we work with them and their humanity, then the behavior stops. The bad stuff stops. And that's the goal. The goal is not to live on a secluded island where no one can hurt you anymore. The goal is that everyone stops being a jerk. So by talking to this person, we just let them know, if you keep doing this, we can't guarantee your safety, by the way, but we're trying to give you a chance here to correct the behavior.
So you think this kind of intervention can be a model for handling troublesome situation?
I do. I think it's an option, and it's one of many that I lay out in the book, because there is no perfect one-size-fits-all option for these kinds of incidents, and that's probably why it's so hard for people to do it, because it's not an easy answer. But the point is, we have to do the work. We have to try. We have to be what we want to see in the world, right? And if we just punish people, It often works to isolate them and make them continue that bad behavior even more.
You've been leading workshops on these issues since 2013,
yeah.
Right? What kind of responses are you getting to the book?
Oh, great. Really positive. Yeah, really positive. There's always trolls online that don't know who I am and have never read it, and so they feel very free to write whatever they want about it. But anyone that's taken a training from me, anyone that's read the pocket guide version that I put out last year, it's just really positive, and it's giving people the confidence to step up and do something and become an active bystander instead of a passive one.
You said a few minutes ago that this is not about people not being able to say what they want mm-hmm. in a bar, at a venue.
Free speech.
So sort of sifting through everything we've talked about, what is the message for someone who has not been thinking about this, who goes occasionally to a venue and thinks, sounds to me like she's saying I can't say what I want?
Yeah. Well, actually, what I'm saying is I want everyone to have the same level of free speech. Like, I don't need to restrict your free speech in order to have my own. I want everyone to feel as comfortable and safe as typically cisgender white men feel everywhere they go all the time. I want everyone to have that level of comfort and relaxation and fun. I think we deserve that too. I think everyone deserves that. And if we take, you know, if us marginalized folks have a little bit more fun, that doesn't take away from yours in any way, unless your fun is calling me a B word or C word or grabbing me, then yeah, I'm going to draw a line. That's all we're saying. That's all this book is saying.
Well, good luck promoting the book.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for telling us about it. Shauna Potter is lead singer for the punk band War on Women. Her book is Making Spaces Safer, a guide to giving harassment the boot wherever you work, play, and gather. She'll be speaking about it on Thursday, May 23rd at Red Emma's, 1225 Cathedral Street in Baltimore. We've got more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Short break now, and then a Stoop story.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.